Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Thank you, Tim. And welcome to the RTC Weekly Download, the old-time radio download, brought to you by the people of the Radio Theater Channel. Today we have detectives. It's going to be none other than Joe Friday. And he'll be followed in 30 minutes by an episode of the Red Skelton Show from 1942. Now, both of these shows were sponsored by cigarettes, so you know they have that in common. So here it is, our first program, The Big Imposter from 1951.
The story you're about to hear is true. Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Fatima Cigarettes, best of all long cigarettes, brings you Dragnet.
You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned to missing persons detail. A 10-year-old boy disappears from his home in a remote section of the city. Two nights and 2 days pass. There's not a trace of the boy. Your job, find him.
Friends, compare Fatima with any other king-size cigarette. You'll find a world of difference. Yes, in Fatima, the difference is quality.
Quality of tobaccos. The finest domestic and Turkish varieties. Extra mild, superbly blended. To give you a much different, much better flavor and aroma.
Quality of manufacture. Smooth, round, perfect cigarettes. Rolled in the finest paper money can buy. Manufactured in the newest and most modern of all cigarette factories.
Quality. Even to the appearance of the bright, clean, golden yellow package. Carefully wrapped and sealed to bring you Fatima's rich, fresh, extra mild flavor.
So compare Fatima yourself today.
You'll find Fatima's now cost the same as other long cigarettes, but your first puff will tell you...
Ah, that's different.
Yes, in Fatima, the difference is quality. Buy Fatima.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case transcribed from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Wednesday, August 4th. It was hot in Los Angeles. We were working the day watch out of Juvenile Bureau. My partner's Ben Romero. The boss is Inspector Bowling. My name's Friday. We were on the way out from the office, and it was 2:25 p.m. when we got to Bowers Avenue, number 1218.
Yes.
Police officers, ma'am, we'd like to see Mr. Sherman.
Oh, certainly. Officers, won't you come in?
Thank you very much.
I'm Mrs. Keller from next door. I saw you around here yesterday.
Yes, ma'am.
Came over this morning to look after poor Mr. Sherman.
Yes, ma'am. Well, how's he feeling today?
Not too well. Fixed him some nice chicken broth for lunch, and then I helped him in his wheelchair and took him out in the backyard out in the sun. Good hot sun. It's wonderful for his legs. He has arthritis, you know.
Yes, so we understand. Wonder if we could talk to him, Miss Keller.
Well, yes, I guess if you have to. He's still out in the back sleeping in his chair last time I looked. Seems a shame to disturb him.
Well, he called us at the office, said he wanted to see us as soon as we could make it out here.
Was it about his grandson, Jimmy? They found him yet?
No, ma'am. Searching parties combing the area. There's still no trace of the boy.
Did any of the other officers who were out here covering the neighborhood talk to you, Ms. Keller?
Oh, yes. There was Mr. Lorman, Detective Lorman.
Yes, ma'am.
I told him everything I knew about Jimmy's disappearance. It was right after dinner hour on Monday. It was about 6:30 last time I saw Jimmy.
I see.
I came out the side door to empty the garbage, and I saw Jimmy hiking up the side of the hill there. Just in back of the house, all by himself. Nice boy.
As far as you know, Mrs. Keller, Jimmy is Mr. Sherman's only living relative.
That's right. His only relative, his only grandchild.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy's mother and father were killed in an auto wreck. That was 3 or 4 years ago. Sherman's had a terrible auto tragedy. Jimmy and his grandfather, they're the only ones left.
You can't think of any reason why the boy would want to leave his grandfather, can you?
None at all. Mr. Sherman's a wonderful man. Jimmy loved him, I knew that.
Mrs. Keller! Mrs. Keller!
Oh, it's Mr. Sherman, he's awake. We can go through the house out the back.
Yeah? All right, ma'am.
This way.
Thank you. Go ahead, ma'am.
Yeah, okay.
Visitors for you, Mr. Sherman. How are you feeling?
All right, I suppose. Hello, Sergeant.
How are you, Mr. Sherman?
What about the boy? Have you found him yet?
Well, nothing yet, Mr. Sherman. We've added more men to the searching party. We're doing everything we can.
Gone 2 nights and 2 days. Tell me the truth, Sergeant. What's happened to the boy?
Well, right now, we don't know any more about it than you do, sir, but that's no reason to give up hope.
You told us yourself yesterday that Jimmy's been missing once before. It turned out all right that time.
He wasn't gone for 2 nights and 2 days. Maybe you'll just say I'm old and I've got funny ideas, but I got a feeling, Sergeant, something's happened to Jimmy. Something's happened and I can't do anything about it.
You just put those thoughts out of your head, Mr. Sherman. They're going to find Jimmy and it's going to be all right. Why don't you pull up those lawn chairs there, Sergeant?
All right.
I'm going to go in the house and fix some cold lemonade for you men.
Well, thank you, ma'am.
We got your phone message at the office, Mr. Sherman. Anything special you wanted to talk to us about?
Yes, there was something. When you were talking to me yesterday...
Yes, sir.
I told you that Jimmy had on a brown jacket when he disappeared Monday night.
Yeah.
I was wrong, Sergeant. We found the jacket in his room. All he was wearing was a pair of blue jeans and this white sweatshirt. Do you think that might help any?
Yes, sir, it might. We'll send out a supplementary description of his clothes. We'll see that everybody's notified.
Just wish I could be out there with the searching party. Arthritis is pretty bad today. Caught me at a terrible time. Don't know what I'd do if anything happened to the boy.
I know we've asked you this before, Mr. Sherman, but can you think of any reason at all why your grandson would want to leave home?
No, sir, no reason at all. Those two collie pups over there in the pen. Jimmy just bought them last week with his own money. Saved up to get them.
I see.
The boy's crazy about dogs. That's why I say he just wouldn't pick up and leave everything. The boy and me got along fine. No reason for it, Sergeant. Something's happened to the boy. I just got a feeling.
Officer?
Yes, ma'am?
A telephone call for either one of you.
I get it, Ben. I'll be right back.
You're right.
The man said it was your office calling.
Thank you, Miss Keller. Where's the phone?
Telephone's straight back there in the hall.
Thank you very much. Friday talking.
This is Bowling, Joe. Just heard from the search party up in the hills.
Oh, did they find something?
Yeah, in the Elysian Park area by the upper reservoir.
Uh-huh.
Found a pair of kids' trousers right by the edge of the water.
What kind of trousers?
Blue jeans. Nothing in the pockets. They'll start dragging for a body as soon as they get the equipment. Check it out with the grandfather, huh? See if the boy was in the habit of hiking up there around the reservoir.
Right. We'll call in just before we leave here.
Right, Joe.
Right, bye.
Well, there's your lemonade, Sergeant. Just poured it for you. Nice and cold.
Thank you, ma'am.
What was it, Sergeant? Something about the boy?
Well, nothing definite, no, sir. Just a report on the search party. They're still up in the Elysian Park area.
Oh, I see.
Did your grandson Jimmy do much hiking in that neighborhood up there, Mr. Sherman?
Yes, I think he did. Likes to hike up there around the reservoir. Why?
The name on the 316 report, missing juvenile, read... James Philip Sherman, WMA, 10 years old. He lived with his 68-year-old grandfather, Oscar Sherman, in a small cottage in a sparsely populated section of the city. Shortly after 6 p.m. on Monday, the boy went outside to play. When darkness fell and he failed to return home, his crippled grandfather went out to look for him. Half an hour later, the neighbors joined in the search. No sign of the boy. At 10 p.m., Juvenile Bureau was notified, and throughout the night, squads of men on foot and in cruiser cars canvassed the area. A local broadcast and an all-points bulletin was gotten out on the boy. Neither the grandfather or the neighbors could find any reason for his disappearance. After almost 48 hours of continuous searching, the only lead we had was the pair of trousers found on the edge of the upper reservoir in Elysian Park. They were shown to the grandfather, but he failed to give positive identification. Dragging operations at the reservoir began immediately. Meantime, Ben and I, together with Lorman and Lopez from Homicide, checked out every possible lead on the missing youngster. One of the tips came from a Frank Grady, an unemployed carpenter who lived 5 blocks from the Sherman home.
I don't know how much this may be worth to you, Sergeant. I don't want to get anybody into trouble, but I figured this is a pretty important thing.
Well, what is it you want to tell us, Mr. Grady?
Well, as I say, I don't want to get anybody in any trouble, but have you checked over everybody in this neighborhood?
I think we've talked just about everybody in the area, don't you, Joe?
Well, either us or the man from Homicide. Why do you ask, Grady?
Well, there's a guy who lives down the street there, right down the corner from this house. Old guy by the name of Gilby.
Well, what about him?
As I say, I don't want to cause any trouble, but maybe you ought to double-check him. One thing, he's an ex-convict, I know that. Another thing, he hates everybody in the neighborhood. Hates the kids, too. Wouldn't be surprised if he was your man.
Why do you say that, Grady? Does he have any special reason for disliking the Sherman boy?
Old man Gilby wouldn't need a reason. A real queer one. Say, I got a couple of cans of cold beer in the icebox, and I fix you fellas up.
Well, no, sir. Thank you very much.
Just the same. What makes you think this Gilby had anything to do with the boy's disappearance, Mr. Grady?
Well, number one, I saw old man Gilby out walking Monday night when the Sherman kid disappeared.
Yeah?
Saw him walking along the road up there, the same one that goes up by the reservoir, and I watched him. It was dark by the time he got back to his house. I'd check on him again if I were you.
As far as you know, has Gilby ever been in trouble for bothering the kids in the neighborhood?
Oh, Sergeant, he bothers everybody in the neighborhood. Real queer, lives by himself, always complaining about something. Frankly, I think he's your man. I think he took that kid and he did something to him.
Well, do you have anything at all to back up your opinion?
You dig around, you'll find something on him. He's no good, and I'll bet on it. I've had a couple of run-ins with him myself. He just isn't any good, that's all.
Well, all right, Grady, thanks for the tip. We'll be sure and double-check on the man.
You won't tell him where you got the tip, though, huh? Like I say, I've had run-ins with him before. It might cause trouble.
No, he won't know where we got it. Thanks again.
Okay, Sergeant. It's a pretty important thing. I didn't want to make anybody look bad, but the old man's just no good. Now, you understand that, don't you?
Sure, Grady. We understand. As a matter of routine, we double-checked on Grady's neighbor, Mr. Harold Gilby. We found out that he had no jail record and that he had been at work on Monday from 3 to 11 p.m. He could have had no direct connection with the Sherman boy's disappearance, no more than Grady himself could have had. The so-called tip he'd offered us was like 100 other phony leads in 100 other cases. Spiteful, small-minded neighbors trying to use a tragic situation to work out their jealousies and prejudice on somebody that they didn't get along with in the neighborhood. The search continued. So did the hot weather. Friday, August 6th, no sign of the missing boy. The temperature climbed into the mid-90s. Dragging operations at the reservoir went on. Saturday, August 7th, more legwork, more hot weather. By noontime, Ben and I had run down the last lead we had on 10-year-old Jimmy Sherman. Went nowhere. 1 p.m., we headed back for the office to check with Inspector Bowling.
These are the days when I wish I had a little swimming pool in my backyard. Sure be nice to go home to.
Yeah, well, save your money.
No, it doesn't cost so much. No, I read in a magazine where a fella built his own pool for $95.37.
It can't be much of a pool, can it?
Oh, yeah, it's good size. Of course, he did all his own labor. Had all his friends in to help out.
Well, he must have had a lot of friends, didn't he?
Yeah, he did after he finished the pool.
Friday, Ben?
Hi. Oh, hi, Skipper.
How'd you two make out? Anything?
No luck at all.
It makes it unanimous. Did you hear about the old man, the boy's grandfather?
No, what happened?
I guess the strain got too much for him. He collapsed. They're moving him to a hospital.
Oh, that's too bad.
Right.
Our men still up there dragging that reservoir?
Finished this morning. Nothing.
Well, how about the search party? Nothing there either, I suppose.
No, not a trace of the boy. It's a blind alley all the way around. How about the APB, the radiogram?
Had three replies so far. None of them panned out.
Here, grab it. Juvenile Bureau of Bowling. Gaffrett. Mm-hmm. No good, huh? Yeah, all right. Check you later. I heard it once. I heard it 50 times. No trace of the boy.
Got me, Skipper. Something real weird about the whole thing.
Well, now, look. We know he didn't just disappear into thin air. Kid's gone. There's a good reason for it. There's got to be an answer somewhere.
That's right. You'll find it.
Another week passed, and then a month. 2 months. We were no farther along than the day we started on the case. In November, we had a teletype from Chief Earl O'Clair of the Phoenix, Arizona Police Department. Reportedly, the Sherman boy had been seen in Phoenix. It was another false alarm. The Christmas holidays wore on into a new year. February came and went, then March, April. Tuesday, May 3rd, 1:40 p.m., Ben and I got a call to check in with Inspector Bowling.
This telegram just came in from Dayton, Ohio. Have a look.
Thank you.
Let's see, Joe. What is it?
Jimmy Sherman. They found him. 9 months had gone by, almost to the day, since the Sherman boy had disappeared. The grandfather was contacted immediately. When he was told his grandson had been found and that he was safe, the old man was unable to answer. He broke down and wept. In our communications with the Dayton, Ohio police, they told us that the boy had been found wandering along a highway just outside that city and that he'd appeared to be in a kind of a dazed condition. The boy told the Dayton officers that he'd been kidnapped a short distance from his home in Los Angeles by a man in a blue sedan. He gave them detailed descriptions of both the man and the car. He told them that for the past 9 months, the man had held him prisoner, driving from state to state, never letting the boy out of his sight. He said the kidnapper told him on several occasions that he was holding him for ransom and that he was waiting to get money from his grandfather. On May 8th, the youngster was returned to Los Angeles and reunited with his grandfather. On May 10th, we got a call from the grandfather that he wanted to talk to us. Ben and I drove out to see him.
Come right in, officers. Glad to see you.
How are you, sir?
Hi, Mr. Sherman.
Sorry to cause you all this trouble chasing you out here like this.
Not at all, sir. What is it that you want to see us about?
Well, I'm not really sure about it, Sergeant. That's the whole thing of it. I don't know if it's me or what it is.
Well, what's bothering you, Mr. Sherman?
It's the boy, Jimmy. I don't know what to think.
Well, how do you mean, sir? He's all right, isn't he? We saw him as we drove up playing out in the backyard, and the doctor checked him over, didn't
he? No, it's not that. The boy's healthy enough. Nothing wrong with him.
Well, then what is it, sir?
Maybe it sounds a little weird to you, but I'm just not sure.
You're not sure of what?
That boy out there, Sergeant. I'm not sure he's really my grandson.
You are in the communications division of a Metropolitan Police Department, the teletype room.
LOS 52951, 12:03 p.m. APB, WMA 150, 5'6", dark hair, dark eyes, wearing gray suit, no hat. Suspect is wearing glasses, heavy build, 22 years. Suspect is armed with blue steel revolver. Any information? Forward.
You have just heard a teletype description of a suspect. This information will apply to many, but careful screening will eliminate all but one.
You'll find the same is true when you examine king-size cigarettes. Careful screening will eliminate all but Fatima.
Compare Fatima. Fatimas are the same length as any other king-size cigarette, 85 millimeters. Fatima has the same circumference, 1 1/64 inches around.
And Fatima filters the smoke exactly the same long distance as other king-size cigarettes, but in Fatima the difference is quality.
Fatima gives you extra mildness, a much different, much better flavor and aroma. You get all the advantages of extra length, plus Fatima quality, which no other king-size cigarette has.
So compare Fatima yourself. Your first puff will tell you...
Ah, that's different.
Yes, in Fatima, the difference is quality. Best of all, long cigarettes.
Tuesday, May 10th, 2 p.m., when the aging grandfather, Oscar Sherman, told us that he wasn't sure whether the recovered boy was really his grandson, Ben and I didn't know what to think. Our first reaction was that the shock of recovering the boy after he'd almost been given up for lost had been too much for the old man. Mr. Sherman admitted that there was no physical difference in the boy as far as he could see, but he still insisted that there was something wrong, that the boy seemed different somehow. To satisfy the grandfather, Ben and I talked to the boy, but he failed to give us any reason to believe that he was not Jimmy Sherman. We checked with the boy's friends, all the people in the neighborhood who'd known Jimmy over a period of years. They confirmed our opinion. A few thought that the youngster had changed a little, but no one had any serious doubts about it. The boy was really Jimmy Sherman. So the matter was dropped. Thursday, May 12th. Ben and I had lunch, and then we checked back in at the office.
Joe, want to grab that?
Yeah, I'll get it. Juvenile Bureau, Friday.
Sergeant, this is Mr. Sherman talking.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Sherman?
Yes, sir. How are you?
I want you to come out and take this boy, Sergeant. He's not my grandson. I'm sure of it.
Well, how do you mean, sir?
This boy's got a scar on his side. He's had his appendix out.
Yes, sir.
My grandson never had an operation in his life.
Before we left the office, Ben and I briefed Inspector Bowling on the phone call from the grandfather, then we drove back to the Sherman house. While Oscar Sherman didn't claim that he knew his grandson's complete medical history, he was certain that the boy had not had his appendix out and that he had not had an operation. He told us that his neighbor, Mrs. Keller, could substantiate that she had known Jimmy since he was a baby. We put in a call to the Sherman's family doctor. He wasn't in. We left a message, and then we went next door to see Mrs. Keller. We found her in the kitchen washing dishes.
I just got a couple more to rinse. Can you wait a minute?
Yes, Coretta.
Of course we can.
No, to tell you the truth, Sergeant, I just don't know what to think about Mr. Sherman. Maybe the whole thing was too much for him. His mind's going back on.
Well, to your knowledge, Mrs. Keller, was the boy ever operated on?
No, not as far as I know. But it's possible he did have an operation. I didn't hear about it. Sergeant, as far as I'm concerned, that boy's Jimmy Sherman. I don't know what his grandfather's up to with all that silly talk.
Well, if it's not really the boy, we won't have too much trouble finding the truth.
There's no question in my mind. Of course it's Jimmy. Why, when he was over here the other day, he talked about the party I gave for him one Halloween. He even remembered the children who were there.
Mm-hmm. Are the other neighbors as sure about the boy as you are?
Just about. Miss Foster down the street. Jimmy was in to see her yesterday. He talked about some changes she'd made in her living room. Asked her about some relatives she has living out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Come to think about it, Jimmy even remarked on that new trailer rose I planted out in front. Besides, as the boys' dogs, why, they knew that youngster the minute he set foot in the yard.
Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you very much, Mrs. Keller. If we have any more questions, we'll contact you, is that all right?
All right, Sergeant. Couldn't fix you a cup of coffee, could I?
No, thank you, Mrs. Keller. Time now.
Poor old Mr. Sherman. I don't know what to make of it. He's so mixed up.
Yes, ma'am. So are we. We left the neighbor, Mrs. Keller, and went back next door to the Sherman house. The grandfather told us that the family doctor hadn't returned our call yet. At 3:30 p.m., the boy came home from school, changed his clothes, and went out into the backyard to play. We figured we had nothing to lose in talking to the boy again. We found him in the small workshop at the rear of the garage where he was sawing on a piece of plywood with a hacksaw. We talked to him for about 20 minutes. It was no different than the first time we interviewed him. He was relaxed and talkative.
Say, would you hand me that hammer there, officer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, here you go.
Thanks. Boy, if I ever get this thing finished, it's going to be the best coaster around here. These are the wheels I'm going to put on it. Pretty good, aren't they?
Yeah, they look fine, son. Do you like building things, coasters and things like that?
Oh, yeah, I like it all right. It's fun.
Your granddad says you've changed quite a bit since you got back, Jim. Says you didn't like working around the shop here before.
Well, I guess I don't really. You know, once in a while I like to come out and fool around.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen Mr. Barlow down the street since you've been back?
Mr. Barlow? No, I went down to see him, but he wasn't home. Maybe I'll go down and see him tomorrow.
His name isn't Barlow, is it, Ben? I thought it was Robinson.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Mr. Robinson. Sometimes I forget.
How do you and your grandfather get along, Jim, all right?
Oh, sure, every once in a while looks kind of funny at me. I don't know. I guess he's still worried about that man taking me away, you know, and all.
Uh-huh. How you been feeling lately, Jim, okay?
Sure, I feel fine. Hardly ever get sick. That's good.
You ever been in the hospital, son?
Uh-huh, just once. Had my appendix out. I hate hospitals. Can I have that can of nails there, please?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, here you are.
Gotta make this good and strong, you know.
I'd like to ask you a question, son.
Yeah?
What's your real name?
I'm Jimmy Sherman, you know that.
No, I'd like to have the truth, son. Who are you?
You must be fooling, officers. You know who I am. Jimmy Sherman.
No, Jimmy Sherman never had his appendix out, son, but you did, and you've got a scar to prove it, haven't you?
Sure, I had my appendix out. Ask my grandpa, he'll tell you.
I'm afraid he won't, son. He says he's not your grandfather. He says you don't belong here. His grandson never had an operation in his life.
How about it, son? You want to tell us about it?
Oh, Grandpa isn't feeling well. He doesn't know what he's saying.
Well, he knows you're not his grandson. Now, come on, what about it, son?
All right. I'm not Jimmy Sherman.
He told us his real name was Donald Rush. He said he'd run away from his home in Springfield, Ohio, 2 weeks before. He said that he'd been picked up by the police on a highway just on the outskirts of Dayton, Ohio. On returning the boy to the station, the police officer saw that he fitted the description of the missing California boy perfectly. It was almost as if the two were identical twins. Under the impression that the youngster was suffering from shock or amnesia, the police officers told him all about his home and his friends in California. They gave Donald Rush all the information that they had on the missing Sherman boy. All the newspaper stories, pictures, the dozens of teletypes and circulars which had been sent across the country in an effort to locate the missing youngster. On his way out to California on the train, the Rush boy was given dozens of newspapers to read which contained thousands of words concerning the disappearance of Jimmy Sherman. So by the time he got to Los Angeles, Donald Rush knew everything he had to know about the boy he was impersonating. We questioned the Ohio youngster further. Besides an exceptionally high IQ, he admitted to having an almost photographic memory. We took him in the house to face the grandfather of the boy that he'd been impersonating, the boy who was still missing.
Mr. Sherman.
Yes, Sergeant. Sit down, won't you?
The boy here has a confession for you. He wants to tell you himself.
I think I know. I was right all along, wasn't I, Sergeant?
I didn't mean anything by it, mister. I just thought it'd be fun to make out like somebody else for a while.
You wouldn't know the difference, would you, Sergeant?
No, sir, I'm afraid I wouldn't. That picture over there on the mantle and the boy here, they look exactly alike to me.
There's only one thing I'd like to know, son.
Yeah?
Why'd you do it? Why'd you try and fool me?
Oh, I don't know, mister. I ran away from home, and the cops picked me up near Dayton. They thought my name was Jimmy Sherman. They said I was a missing kid from California.
Well, why didn't you straighten them out right then, son?
I was kind of afraid, and if I told them what my real name was, they would have sent me back home. So I just let them think I was really Jimmy Sherman. They seemed to be pretty sure I was.
How long did you think you could keep it up, son, pretending you were somebody else?
I don't know. Guess I never thought much about that. I got here, and everybody was nice to me. I just didn't think about anybody finding out. Honest, mister, I didn't mean to do anything wrong. I didn't mean to hurt anybody.
And you never saw my grandson? You never saw Jimmy?
No, sir. I just got on the train. They brought me out here.
You don't know where he is. You don't know how he is.
All right, try to take it easy, Mr. Sherman.
Why would you do it, boy? You're a stranger. Why would you try to fool me about Jimmy?
I'm sorry, mister. I didn't mean it. Honest, I didn't mean it.
Thought I had him back. Thought I had him back.
Come on, Ben.
Let's go, son.
I didn't want to make him cry like that, Sergeant. Honest, I'm sorry. Couldn't you just let me stay here with him?
No, I'm afraid not, son.
I won't do anything wrong. Don't you think I could just stay here with him? I'll go right back in there now and tell him I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry too, youngster, but you're not the boy he's looking for.
The story you have just heard was true. Only the names were changed to protect the innocent. On Wednesday, May 20th, a meeting was held at the Juvenile Bureau, City and County of Los Angeles, State of California. In a moment, the results of that meeting. And now here is our star, Jack Webb.
Thank you. Friends, I hold in my hand a new pack of Fatimas. All I need to prove that Fatima is the best of all long cigarettes. Now here, on the side, you'll find this statement. Fatima contains the finest Turkish and domestic tobaccos, superbly blended to make Fatima extra mild. Fatima gives you all the advantages of extra length, plus Fatima quality, which no other king-size cigarette has. So tomorrow, buy a pack of Fatimas. I know you'll find that in Fatima, the difference is quality.
Donald Rush, who impersonated missing 10-year-old Jimmy Sherman, was returned to the custody of his parents at their home in Springfield, Ohio. 4 months later, the body of Jimmy Sherman was discovered buried on a farm on the outskirts of Riverside, California. The boy had been murdered. His killer, a farmer in the neighborhood, was subsequently apprehended and brought to trial. He was found guilty of murder in the first degree and was executed at the state penitentiary, San Quentin, California. You have just heard Dragnet, a series of authentic cases from official files. Technical advice comes from the Office of Chief of Police W.H. Parker, Los Angeles Police Department.
Fatima Cigarettes, best of all long cigarettes, has brought you Dragnet, portions transcribed from Los Angeles.
Stay tuned for Counter Spy, next over most NBC stations.
The Big Imposter from 1951, an episode of Dragnet. If you want to listen to old-time radio between the weekly podcasts, it's available all the time at otrlisten.com. That's oldtimeradiolisten.com. That's a radio theater channel. We have regular schedule of great old-time shows that I know you will love, so check that out, www.oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now it's time for our second program. It's a comedy. It's going to be Red Skelton from 1942. This is called Victory Gardens. And you remember that Victory Gardens was what a lot of people did. They were encouraged to do. Grow gardens in their backyards or on the side street to supplement their food with vegetables. So now from 1942, here's Red Skelton.
The Raleigh Cigarette Program from Hollywood, starring Red Skelton with Oz Nelson and his orchestra, Harriet Hilliard, and yours truly, Truman Bradley. Smokers, any cigarette can claim superiority, but we give you proof. Proof of Raleigh's outstandingly high quality that you can plainly see for yourself. Compare the open ends of a pack of Raleigh cigarettes with any other brand. You'll see instantly that the tobaccos in Raleigh's are unmistakably more golden in color. And that speaks quality in the tobacco business. Any expert will tell you the more golden tobaccos are choicer, more expensive. Yes, smokers, you can make this test yourself. You can prove to yourself that Raleigh's do give you the better tobaccos. And Raleigh's give you valuable coupons, too, redeemable for premiums, war stamps, or cash. Truly, Raleigh's offer you more than any other cigarette. Next time, why not try Raleigh's? And now we bring you the star of our Raleigh Cigarette Show, Red Skelton.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, Red, what's cooking?
I don't know, but I'll bet it didn't come in cans.
What have you been doing all week?
Well, you know, you're now looking at Victory Garden Skelton.
Tell me, how much Victory Garden have you got?
1 acre. It's my back.
Well, the secret to a successful Victory Garden is not to plant more than you can care for. Things really grow fast out here in California, don't they, Red?
Yeah, I'll say you don't even have to plant anything. You just hold the seed in your hand, the ground comes up and snaps at it. No kidding, I planted some beans last week. And this morning they're halfway to Boston.
Red, tell me, how about tomatoes?
No, I'm going home early tonight.
No, I'm talking about your Victory Garden.
Oh, say, have you got a Victory Garden, Truman?
Yes, sir, indeed I have. Everyone should have a Victory Garden,
really?
Especially this year, because 1/4 of our total food production in 1943 will be needed for our armed forces and to help our allies.
Oh.
Hiya, Red.
Hiya, Harriet.
Oh, boy, am I tired. I've been working my garden.
Yeah?
Yeah, Ozzie was helping me. I dug up the garden and raked the soil and dug the holes and planted the seeds.
Wait a minute. What did Ozzie do?
Oh, he prayed for rain. Say, not only have I got vegetables, but you should see the fruit I'm getting, too.
Yeah, me too. You know, in my yard, I've got lemons, tangerines, and kumquats.
What's a kumquat, Ray?
Well, in California, that's just another name for a Florida orange. Hiya, folks. Hello, Ozzie. Harriet was telling me about your Victory Garden.
Yeah, it's fun to have your own garden. Yeah. And besides, Victory Gardens reduce the demand of commercial food supplies, and that leaves more for everyone.
Now, how's your garden doing?
Well, everything was all right until last week when the rains came.
The rains came. What happened? Did your garden wash away?
Oh, no. But I just opened the back door and waited for the right vegetable to flow past.
Say, I thought it never rained in California, Red.
Well, all I know is I went to the door and a fella handed me a letter from the Chamber of Commerce.
What did it say?
It says, "Dear Mr. Skelton, regardless of all that stuff you see running down the gutter, it does not rain in California."
And then what happened?
Oh, he got back in his boat and paddled away.
Well, you know, raising your own vegetables will help you during this point rationing.
Yeah, what do you mean, Harriet?
Well, we're still using the stuff we grew last year. I put it up in bottles last summer.
You know, I put my stuff next to my uncle's bottled goods in the wine cellar.
What happened?
Well, did you ever open up a can of cherries and have them throw your arms, their arms around you and say, "What you doing, big boy?"
Say, have you had any trouble with gophers, Red?
No, they're all right if you cook them long enough.
No, I mean, have the gophers been eating your vegetables?
Yeah, I'll say they haven't. Boy, are they fresh. One gopher grabbed my radish, and he looked up at me, and he says, "Well, don't stand there, stupid. Pass the salt."
He borrows all my newest shirts and wears my sharpest ties. He even lends my car out to a dozen other guys. If I should try to get a ride, I get the well-known thumb from my old chum. I try to get a night of rest, I even lock the door. But he brings in a party that swings out till 3 or 4. Who winds up sleeping in my bed while I sleep on the floor? My old chum. We make a blind date with a couple of girls to dine at some fancy-priced grill. I always wind up with the homely one, and of course I'm the guy who pays the bill. I thought I'd found the one girl who could never be surpassed. I even got to thinking, this is real romance at last. Then I found she'd run away with just another bum. My old chum.
She wears my finest evening gowns, gets runners in my hose, and uses my pet powder puff to dull her shiny nose. My mail is opened by mistake, but she knows who it's from. She's my old chum. She broadcasts all my secrets, but to everyone in town, and splashes in my fine perfume. It really gets me down. She beats me to the kitchen, and she leaves me not a crumb. That's my old chum. She tells me she simply adores my new hat. She says, "My dear, it's too divine." Then says to all my friends, "Is she kidding with that?" But then, after all, what can you expect for $1.49? While glancing through this morning's pictures on the social page, I saw the Duke of something or other, the newest social rage. And standing right beside the Duke, but standing well upstage, was my old chum.
That was My Old Chum, sung by Harriet Nosey and dedicated to the 364th Infantry.
Well, say, Red, outside of playing army camps in the desert and working in your victory garden, what else did you do last week?
Well, I started my spring cleaning. I took down my woolen drapes and I washed them in boiling water.
Now, Red, hot water shrinks wool and makes the colors run.
Yeah, you know anybody wants to buy a piece of plaid Kleenex?
Say, aren't you starting your spring cleaning just a little too early?
Oh, no, everybody's cleaning house now. You take Clem, the fellow from the country. He started cleaning up his farm last week and had quite a job, too. He was walking. Well, here I am. foot two, eyes are blue. Do 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 do. Yes, their eyes are blue and nothing between them but a blank expression. Boy, do I hate spring cleaning. I wish Daisy June was here. I'd pretend I was sick and then make her do the work for me. Oh, don't laugh. I bet some of you guys pull the same trick. I bet that's another one of those OPA men working his way through college. I'll just take this baseball bat, and if he puts his foot through the door, I'll let him hit it. I don't want any.
Hello, Clem?
Will Daisy. Well,
I bought the ticket.
Sure. Boy, there's nothing I like better than free dancing.
Well, Clem, ain't you going to invite me in?
Yeah, I'm kind of busy cleaning my house, you know.
Well, you ain't doing a very good job.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I can write my name in the dust on this plow in the hall.
You can? Gee, education's a wonderful thing, ain't it?
Well, what'd you look at it? Was you expecting me to help you?
Now, she ought to know better than that. Yep, yeah. Hey, which one of these bottles is floor polish?
Well, this one's floor polish and the other one's hair restorer.
Okay.
Now, why did you break that good bottle of hair restorer?
Well, I don't want to make the same mistake I made last year. I used the hair restorer for floor polish.
What happened?
Every time I swept the floor, I had to part it in the middle.
Well, I'll just sit here and finish my knitting until you get through.
What you making?
Well, that's a surprise. I'm making you a birthday present.
What is it?
It's a secret.
Oh, what is it? I won't tell me.
Clem, you're a sap.
I'm a jerk, too.
Now, how can you be a jerk and a sap, too?
I lead a double life. Hey, come on, Daisy June. Tell me, what you making?
Well, I'm knitting you some underwear, Clem. You want to see them?
Underwear for me? Let's see them.
Okay, there.
Gee, zoot snuggies.
Say, Clem, you know, this room would look better if you took that wash tub off and down the mantle.
Well, okay, I'll climb up there and get it off and down.
Well, throw it down, Clem. Be careful you don't fall.
Suppose you let go of it, wasn't there?
Are you hurt?
No, I always wrap my ears around my head like a turban. Hey, get over to the dude that's coming up the house. He sure looks funny, don't he? Look at this. No toes.
He's a wearing shoes.
Shoes?
Clem, his toes are inside them things.
What's the matter? Is he ashamed of them? Howdy.
Howdy, I'm selling soap.
What's it?
Well, that's that stuff you wash with. You know, it takes the dirt off.
No kidding. Boy, what they won't think of next. Won't you come in?
Well, thanks.
Well,
You're just back from feeding the pigs, ain't you?
Yeah, how'd you know?
Never mind, I'll just open the window. Now, this here bath soap smells as sweet as a rose. Would you like to take a bath with some?
Take a bath? You kidding? This ain't April.
Clem, stop talking like that. Why don't you go take a bath? Just figure it's part of your spring cleaning.
Okay, give me this soap. It won't burn, will it?
Oh, brother, not that soap. It's made of coconut oils and vegetables.
Well, I'll just sip it. I'll just go in here into the bathroom and try it out. I'll get off these clothes. My hat, my overcoat, my vest, my coat, my vest, my coat. Well, Daisy June, you remember that windbreaker I lost last winter?
Yes?
I just found it. Now for a shower. Boy, there's nothing like a good cold shower. Oh, feel like a new man.
Well, Clem, how do you like that soap?
Tastes pretty good.
Now, wait a minute. You ain't eating that, are you?
You said it was made out of vegetables, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, I ain't letting no good food go down no drain pipe in times like this, brother.
Are you all right?
Sure, I'm all right. Didn't hurt me. But now I know what they mean when they sing, "I'm forever blowing bubbles."
Spring cleaning. Did you hear what happened at Deadeye out in Poison Gulch last week?
No.
And I have said yes to program it in right there. So what happened?
Well, well, it says here, they were all sitting around in the Red Devil Saloon when someone decided they should clean up the town.
Yeah. Hey, piano player, stop that, will you? Stop that! Oh, come on, piano player, stop! All right, brother, you asked for it. How do you like that? I had to shoot the piano, too. Okay, now let's get back to this card game. What are you holding there, Clem?
Slim? Who?
Slim, what are you got?
Six aces. What have you got?
Six aces. Well, what do you know? It's a tie.
Now, wait a minute. What's that card up your sleeve?
Up my sleeve?
Yeah.
Well, lucky for me, another ace. I win.
Hiya, Deadeye. How's my little sweetie pie today?
Well, monotonous Maggie. How you been?
Swell. I've been home making myself pretty for you.
Yeah.
Remember them circles I used to have under my eyes?
Yeah.
Well, look now.
Great ball of fire triangles.
Well, ain't you gonna kiss me?
No, I'm busy cheating at cards. Besides, I kissed you last night, didn't I?
Yeah, but look, my lips are all pulled out straight again now. Oh, Deadeye, why don't you make love to me like Charles Boyer?
You want me to make love like Charles Boyer, huh? Okay. Come with me to the Caspar. Mustel. Come with me to the Caspar. Come with me.
You thought I should come with you to the Caspar?
Yeah.
You don't love me no more.
Now, I wish you'd stop crying, gal. You're putting my Raleigh cigarette out. Of course I love you, Mag. Why, I'm crazy about your little scrub nose.
No, Deadeye, you mean snub. I got a snub nose.
Okay, but if I was you, I'd scrub my snub. You know, gal, every time I look at you...
Yes?
I wish I hadn't.
Every time I look at you, goose pimples go up and down my backbone.
Goose pimples, huh? Well, grab them. These are meatless days, you know.
I'm just like Hedy Lamarr. We're both women, aren't we?
Yeah. Beer and champagne both come in bottles, too.
Hi, fellas.
Well, get a load of the blimp that just floated in. Boy, would Lieutenant Bill like to drop a blockbuster like you. Well, what you doing, stranger?
Howdy, stranger. My name's Beanpole.
Beanpole? Well, you're the fattest beanpole I ever saw.
Yep, the beans never grew out of me. Hey, who are you?
I'm Deadeye, the toughest cowboy in the West. I stand 8'2" in my stocking feet.
How tall are you with shoes on?
Who's got shoes nowadays?
You look kind of run down to me.
Listen to the man, will you? Why, you know them big construction companies that build them big roads through the hot desert?
Yes.
You know them great big boulders have to be broken into little bitty pieces?
Yes.
You know all that tar and asphalt has to be stamped and pounded till it's flat?
Yes.
I paint the white lines down the middle of the road.
Well, my, my, who's this little creature I see here?
She does that every time she wants a lump of sugar.
I'd like to know you better, little lady. Pull up my knee and sit down.
Okay, where is it?
Say, what brings you to Poison Gulch?
Deadeye, I'm here to clean up this place.
Oh, wait a minute, that's my job.
Oh, Deadeye, what did you ever do to clean up this town?
Well, I've done a lot. You know that dirty old bank with all that filthy money with them germs on it?
Yeah.
Cleaned it out last night.
It's about time somebody cleaned out this town.
By golly, you're right. We'll get together and throw out every dirty crook and every dirty politician that lives here. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Here, put me down. Now listen, there's dirtier crooks in this town besides me. Hey, I gotta think fast, Maggie. I wonder what Gene Autry would do in a spot like this.
He'd throw away his guns, roll up his sleeves, and give them the worst licking of their lives.
Yeah. Wonder what Baby Sandy would do in the same spot.
Hey,
Numskull knows all about cleanups. He's out in the backyard washing his face in the basin.
This is the way you wash your face, wash your face, wash your face.
Why, hello there, Newt. What are you washing your face in the backyard for?
Well, I have to. My wife's taking a bath standing up.
A bath standing up? Why doesn't she sit down?
Well, she can't. You see, I've got a fleet of toy battle boats in the tub. And yesterday she sat on the submarine.
Oh. Submarine, huh?
Yeah.
Well, whether it's some soldier, some sailor, or submarine, they all agree on Raleigh's. Because smokers know that Endo Raleigh's goes everything to make them the very best cigarette you can buy. Yes, you get better tobaccos in Raleigh's, and you get a better blend of tobaccos, too.
Well, I got them all ready to dry off. Now, hand me the towel, will you?
Sure, here you are.
Oh, boy, does that feel good. Pardon me while I do it behind my ears.
Go right ahead, because ears good news for you. Raleigh's exclusive blend gives you a richer taste and flavor. A smooth, mellow mildness that no other cigarette can quite match. And no other cigarette can match Raleigh's for extra values.
Boy,
either.
Am I clean. Nobody will ever recognize me if I keep on.
Oh, yes. Raleigh's give you valuable premium coupons. Remember, redeemable as well for war stamps and cash. Now, to get the most from the cigarettes you smoke, always ask for Raleigh's. Raleigh cigarettes.
Then we have a lady and her little boy. Cleaning house is really something for her, especially with Junior helping. So, Harriet, you be my mother, and I'll be the mean little kid.
Junior, listen, Mother's busy cleaning the attic, and I want you to be good today. Promise me, will you?
Well, I've been good. This morning I could have bitten that little boy next door, but I used me willpower, and I didn't do it.
That's wonderful, Junior.
Yeah, but if he ever puts down that baseball bat, look out.
What time is it out there by the clock?
I will go see. I will see what time it is.
Well,
will...
Junior?
Well, the widow hand is on 4 and the big hand is on the widow hand.
Well, that ought to be easy. What time do you think it is?
Time I stop putting glue on the widow hand. Oh, look, there's me basketball. I think I will play some ping pong.
Ping pong with a basketball?
Sure, what? Ping-pong.
Just for that young man, you can pay for that window out of your allowance each week.
Well, now, that's mighty neighborly of you.
Look at this place. Now, I ought to paddle you a good
bit. Oh, don't do that, Mummy, because after all, you're the pretty Mummy. You're so nice and so young, and you get prettier every day you do.
Well, that's a nice compliment, Junior.
Yeah.
All right, run along.
Boy, that P.T. Barnum sure knew what he was talking about, didn't he? Oh, somebody at the door. We had got company. Every day we got company. Is that you, Pop?
No, I'm the junk man.
Oh.
Have you got any old newspapers or magazines or rags or old iron or maybe old bottles? Well, do you have any old bags?
Only under me widow eye.
Hello, Mr. Junk Man. Junior, you go into the next room.
No, you let me stay or I will hit myself on the head with this book.
Junior, stop hitting yourself with that book. Do you want to lose my place? Now get into the other room.
Now you let me stay or I will tell.
You'll tell what?
You'll help me, I will blab everything.
What?
I will tell everybody used to be an Indian princess with a medicine show.
Oh, Junior, that's not true.
Oh, no. Hey, Pocahontas, here comes the crowd.
Quick, Doc, hand me curacrum and me fetish.
Yeah!
Does it?
Oh, you hit me, you knocked all me baby teeth out. You knocked all me baby teeth out.
Junior, you don't have any baby teeth anymore.
I know, you knock them all out.
Look, lady, I'm still here. Do you have any junk?
Oh, why, yes. You really came just in time. I'm cleaning out the attic.
Well, that's fine. I'll come right up and I'll help you bring the stuff down.
Oh, that's a good idea. I'll lead the way. Sure. It's rather dark up there.
Oh, I don't mind.
You see what happened, fellas, while you was working?
Junior, you're fishing for a whipping.
Something tells me I'm using the right bait, too, boy.
Oh,
there he
that
is.
Cat. Junior, put the cat outside.
Okay, come on, cat. Come on. Here, don't you scratch me. Come here. I'll rub your fur the wrong way for that, boy. Whoa! Whoa! How do you like that? He can spit right through his hide. Right. Careful, cat. You get off that table before you knock that little lamp over. Come on. Oh.
Junior?
Cat.
What did you break?
That cat.
No, no, you don't. I'm getting tired of you breaking things and blaming it on the cat. Now you're going to get it.
Give me back your neck. Give me back.
Well, I guess I cried wolf once too often. Cat, you as cook. Come in, sit down, will you? I want to have a man-to-man talk to you. A man-to-cat talk, rather. We is true. You've outlived your usefulness with me. I used to depend on you, but I don't know. You're just no good no more. I'm sorry. I'll keep you on the feeding list, but from now on, you got to catch your own mice.
I'll get it.
Now's my chance to get to that junk man up in the attic. Oh, boy. Hey, look at all this stuff in this trunk over here.
Yeah, I wonder what it is.
No, that's me mummy's wedding outfit.
Oh, sure enough.
Yeah.
Dried flowers, bridal veil, handcuffs, bear trap, and shotgun. Wait a minute. I wonder what that's doing in there.
I don't know. I asked me mummy once, and she just closed the trunk and says, oh, wouldn't you like to know?
Hey, wait a minute. Here's something I really want.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. We couldn't sell that.
Oh, I'll give you a nickel for it.
No, I... Sure.
Oh, boy, am I lucky. Why, you can't get stuff like this anymore.
Tell about
well, so time. Long, little
Goodbye,
fella.
Goodbye.
Hurry.
What happened to the junk man, Junior?
He gave me a nickel and went away.
What did you sell him?
Just a case of that old canned goods.
Congratulations to the generous Americans who have made it possible for our boys far away from the comforts of home in Africa and Guadalcanal to have a large quantity of our cigarettes, which bear the Union label, donated to them free by the Carpenters District Council of Washington, D.C. Also, congratulations to the Teamsters Local Number 99 of Miles City, Montana, for their generous gift of our cigarettes to the sailors patrolling the seas. And remember, we'll all be back again next Tuesday at the same time. Red Skelton, Ozzie Nelson and his orchestra, Harriet Hilliard, and yours truly, Truman Bradley. Meanwhile, listen to the Tommy Dorsey Show tomorrow night over most of these same stations. Until next Tuesday, then.
This is Red Skelton saying goodbye now. Thanks for listening and help the war effort. Plant a victory garden.
Red Skelton is heard on this program through the courtesy of the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios. This program has been broadcast to the armed forces overseas.
Coming in from a high-speed trial run, a new Navy boat edges gracefully up to a mooring.
Great work, Skipper. How'd she handle?
Well, I jumped out. Say, you really planned the ship there, mister. Handled beautifully. Made the trip so fast, I'm still rocking a bit.
Well, then, try my simmer down prescription, a pipe load of Sir Walter Raleigh.
Why, thanks. I smoke Raleigh myself. Sort of my first mate, you might say. I find it's just the thing to help me relax.
Sure does. When I'm working over the drawing board, a couple of puffs of Raleigh just seem to sort of take the pressure off.
Guess a lot of fellas feel the same way.
Right you are, Skipper. So take this tip, all you pipe smokers. Tonight, try Raleigh, the quality pipe tobacco of America. Sir Walter Raleigh.
This program has come...
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.